You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barrichini, and Alex Hopson.
Welcome to episode 132 of Sticks in the Six. I'm your host, Andrew, here with my co-hosts, Peter and Alex. Of course, brought to you by the fine folks at the Indie Ale House in Toronto. And you can find us on the Hockey Podcast Network. Boys, some goalie talk as we get to the Leafs to a little bit later in this episode. But before we get going here, Peter, I'll throw it to you first. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man. Today was probably a very eventful day because I was dog sitting today for one of my sister's friends and been playing around with the dog, going for a long walk despite the 40 degree heat outside. But yeah, it's been really fun. Hopefully this is a precursor to owning a dog myself at one point. But yeah, really tuckered out because the dog really did nothing and I was too tired to do anything. So yeah, dog basically took care of itself, so really happy with that.
I mean, at least you're not getting weather like they have down in Arizona right now. I think they're hitting like 110 Fahrenheit for 5 or 6 days straight here. So you go outside and your shoes melt to the pavement. But definitely a little bit nicer weather out this way. Alex, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, boys. I've got two very non-hockey related pieces of discourse to bring up before we start the episode. First of all, have either of you guys seen advertising for that True Classic Tees company on social media?
Oh, yeah.
So I figured you would, Forbes, because I know that you've got Instagram and Facebook. I don't know if you do, Peter.
Unfortunately, I don't.
That's where I see the majority of the ads. So I just got to say that I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but I did buy a couple of those True Classic Tees. The advertising was very creative and they did a good job selling it. So I spent probably way too much money and bought a couple of those t-shirts, but I can't lie. I swear to God, I'm not being paid to say this, boys. I'm wearing one of these shirts right now and my God, it's the most comfortable shirt I've ever worn ever. The material is just beautiful and it fits perfectly. And I know I sound like I'm reading a script right now, but honest to God, boys, I was feeling really shitty about myself for the amount of money that I spent on those three shirts for the past couple of weeks while I was waiting for it to ship, but they showed up today and they feel great.
Like well worth it.
I've never worn a more comfortable shirt. So just had to get that out of the way.
You know what? There's usually that consumer guilt after you buy something, you're unsure about it, but once you get the product, nine times out of ten, buddy, you're pretty happy.
Especially when it comes from an Instagram ad, though. I didn't feel great about that, but I've been sitting there watching that stupid ad that comes up, the Johnson, what are you wearing? That one. It just pops up in my feed literally every time I open Facebook, and like I said, they did a good job selling it. So anyways,
that little seed of doubt from making the purchase to when it arrives. Oh God, I hope it's nothing, terrible.
I was really worried that I got scammed. And I'm glad to say that I don't think I was, even though I did spend an absurd amount of money on it. Also, I can't remember if I've mentioned this at all, but I'm going to Europe for a couple of weeks on August 13th. And I got to get your opinion on this, because I know you both of you guys are you have both of you have better cleaner facial hair than I do. I would like to raise this question. I'm thinking when I go on that trip that I'm going to try a stash for the first time.
Do it.
Is that something I go for?
Do it. It's the euro,
you think?
Euro stash, buddy.
Do it. Yeah.
Man, if I could grow just a stash and not look like I should be driving a panel van, I would 100% grow one. Just, you know, but
dude, that's what I was like up until recently. I never ever wanted to grow my facial hair out because it just looked awful. My beard looks semi-full for the first time ever, and I think that for once my stash actually looks like it's filled in just enough that I can pull it off.
I think you can pull it off. I think you can. If you trim it down, even if you got like a little bit of that handlebar thing going on, you'll kind of look like a little bit like Mario or Luigi or something.
Peter, I've not heard a better compliment than that. I will take it.
I'm picturing you right now with like a nice stash. You got a little bit of the beard butter to kind of like curl up the sides a little bit.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
one of those like manly super manly short bathing suits out on the European.
Oh, the Speedos.
Oh, I'm not thinking Speedos. I'm thinking like you know, those little they're like above the knee,
like they're boxers, but boxers. Yeah,
essentially they look like boxers.
I will you know what, I think I gotta do that. Unfortunately, we won't be going to Italy on the trip, so if I was in Italy, I feel like I'd fit in a lot better, but I know that the French have some decent mustaches, and we are going to France, so.
They do.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Rock it.
All right. We might run the trial this weekend then. I might shave and just see how it looks. Maybe gauge the public's opinions for a little bit, see what they think.
That's right.
But I think that especially for a 2.5 week trip, I think I'm going to do it.
I think there's a Twitter poll in there somewhere.
I think there is too. I think I'm going to kick things off just with a selfie and just see what people think. Just don't force them to make a decision. Just see what the general reaction is. And then if I'm still unsure, I might go with the poll.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, boys, as you guys know, I went for a nice little procedure this morning. So if I'm a little out of it, or if I miss something, that's probably why. I'm waking up off of a nice little lorazepam nap this afternoon, mixed with a little bit of sertraline for my daily intake. But yeah, got the old boys snip. So two kids. That's all we're gonna have here in the Forbes family, hopefully, unless somehow my powerful vas deferens decides to reconnect at some point.
Forbes, I just want to say there was the guys that run the morning show in the rock station in the building that I work in. The guys that, shout out Soper and Brown, those are my buddies. They're the guys that dunked me and all that shit after the Leafs won around. The one guy went for his dad procedure. I want to say it was a couple months ago, and his co-host went with him and turned it into like a 5-minute TikTok. So next time you go for a medical procedure, I expect to see some content out of it.
Definitely. I mean, you know what, this thing, I'll tell you right now, it would have been a pretty somber piece of content. Like I walked into this room, it was like I was doing a walk of shame down the hallway with the nurse just quietly introducing herself. And then you get in the room and the doctor immediately came in and he's like, everything but your shirt and your socks off. And I was just like, I'm like, okay, so get it off, jump on the table. I lay back and there's a poster of 12 different airplanes up on the thing, just trying to distract you while your balls are getting mutilated. God.
Oh, I love how that was the first thing that he said when he just walked in. It's like, okay, nothing to like calm the nerves or anything. Yeah, just right to it.
Oh man, it was way better than the consult. The consult, he just like, he grabbed them and he's like, I guess feeling around for where he's got to do his little incision or whatever. And he says, so what Costco do you work at? And I looked at him and he was making eye contact and I was like, okay, no, this is weird.
That's a little weird. That's a little awkward at that point.
He's going to come into your Costco at some point and he's going to see you from across the room and be like, hey, I cupped your ball sack last year.
Yeah. Now the biggest event is going to be just providing him with a sample a little bit later to make sure it's all good. But anyways, enough about vasectomy talk here to start the show.
The sect and the six.
Oh, that's a rebrand right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take that before Elon Musk does.
That's right. Ours will be a little bit better, hopefully. Anyways, gentlemen, lots of hockey talk. We're going to try and keep this one short this afternoon. But some news around the league to start off. Obviously, Rocky Wirtz, owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, passed away. You know, we've talked about the Blackhawks organization in the past on this show and some of the things that they've gone through, especially in the last couple of seasons. So obviously this is a polarizing moment for the organization, a polarizing moment for the Wirtz family. And especially with what's happened with that organization over the last little while. So obviously to his family, you know, we send the best, but from that point on, like, I mean, there's the
shortcomings still linger over.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Recent memory. It's, you know, it's still wearing a shadow over this particular news. And I know there's not much else we can say about it, obviously. So we'll kind of leap from that right off the hop here. And we'll get into the Patrice Bergeron retirement news. I think everybody kind of knew this was coming last season with the Bruins and how well they did. It was almost like this last dance type of feeling. Krejci returns, Bergeron returns. You know, Allmark has this unbelievable season. The team just goes on an absolute tear, only to be knocked out in the first round. Bergeron, I mean, Peter, I'll throw it to you first. Your thoughts on him as a player, him as a all around talent, and then him as a potential first ballot Hall of Famer when it comes time.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, you could call it the last dance, but literally, like, this is the equivalent to the Maple Leafs are or nothing, where, you know, you go in, have the season that you did, and then, you know, you have that first round exit, which is very disappointing. And yeah, we kind of thought it was about to happen when he signed that 1 year deal heading into the season. And then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, they had that record breaking year, and then the results of the first round happened. And, you know, it just seemed that it was very quiet on that front. Nothing seemed to, like, come out of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes out saying that he retired. And it's, I must say, even though he was a Boston Bruin, it was bittersweet for me, because out of all the players, out of all the teams, out of all the rivals that the Maple Leafs have faced, I have always loved and appreciated Patrice Bergeron. I think we could all attest to that just by the way that he played the game, the 200-foot game that he played on both sides of the puck. Again, the Selke trophies, like you mentioned, six of them already, or to his credit, also the Stanley Cup in 2012, 2013, I believe. He was an all round, like, he wasn't the best offensive producer, but man, was he ever consistent being a 60, 70 point guy and just laying it all on the ice and being a very vocal and strong leader on and off the ice. And it attests to the leadership presence that they had in that room. And he was at the forefront of that. Definitely a first ballot. No question about that. I'd be shocked if he wasn't, but, it really goes to show the character and presence that he brought to that team, and it's definitely going to be missed.
Alex, I mean, we're talking about a guy who may have been one of the biggest thorns in the side of the Maple Leafs, but really a stand-up, classy player throughout his career. Your thoughts on Patrice Bergeron as he closes out his NHL career?
Yeah, I think I summed it up pretty perfectly in a tweet on the day that he retired, where I said that you set the scene of Game 7 in 2013. Patrice Bergeron was the guy that put the nail in the coffin of the game that made me scream so hard and so loud and put me through so much anguish that I burst blood vessels in my eyelids and all up and down my cheeks. I went to school the next day in a Leafs jersey and got humiliated for it. It was the worst 48 hours of my life. And yet still, I'm going to miss Patrice Bergeron a little bit. So that's pretty much my testament to that's a testament to how I feel about him. He's a guy that, you know, in over a decade of Bruins players that I hated and I wanted nothing to do with. Patrice was one guy that I could never really hate. I hated him on the ice because he was so good and he loved playing against the Leafs. He torched them every single time they played together. But it's going to be a different league without him in it. And it's a pretty high point for him to go out on. So good for him. Amazing career. And with all due respect, I'm glad that the Bruins saw the fate that they did in his last year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a guy who put up 427 goals, 1,040 points in 1,294 regular season games. Obviously, Peter, you mentioned the accolades, the Stanley Cup, the gold medals internationally, what he did for Canada on the global stage. It would have been amazing to see him play one more international best on best. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But even his playoff points, I mean, 50 goals, 128 points in 170 career playoff games. He was on top of the game, and not solely for his offensive ability, but the way that he played a 200-foot game, he really changed what you looked for in a top end center. And he was that guy. He just fit in all aspects of the game. His record setting 6 Selkies is a testament to that as well. I think there's a lot of players in the league now that probably looked up to him during their playing days. And on top of that, I mean, like you. To the beginning of his career, I know he had that concussion and he had a few injuries right off the hop. And, there was some question marks if he'd ever play in the NHL again. And here he is now 19 seasons later and potentially a first ballot Hall of Famer with the numbers and the accolades that he has. So, big shout out to Patrice Bergeron for staying classy his entire career. We know how easily it can be. It can kind of get to your head and you make those mistakes, but he's been one guy on the good side of basically everything. Even I think back to when the Bruins here signed Mitchell Miller, and he was one of the first players to come out and comment on that. And again, just pure class. Yeah, pure class, and a guy that will be sorely missed amongst the Boston Bruin faithful. Us here in amongst Leafs Nation certainly will not miss you on the ice, but we'll miss the class for sure. And we wish you all the best in retirement.
Just want to correct myself. It was 2011 that they won the cup. I'm still thinking about 2013 when he scored the tying and game-winning goal, as Alex mentioned. So, yeah, it clearly that still resonates with all of us in a bad way.
It's the first thing that comes to your head when you think of Patrice Bergeron.
Oh, yeah.
First thing I think about when someone mentions Patrice Bergeron is James Reimer laying face down on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, boys. But let's jump over to Leaf Talk. Ilya Samsonov, arbitration happened. 3.55 is what he signed to. 1-year deal. Alex, I'm going to get your take on this first. Ilya Samsonov, is this a good price tag for this guy, or what? What are we talking about here?
I think in terms of value, 3.55 is a great contract for him. Obviously, you know, it's only 1 year, so that's how you're getting him at that price. But for a guy that, you know, dropped a save percentage that was at what, 919 at last year, a goals against average that was below 230. I mean, this is a guy that, and you know, he was the goalie in between the pipes when the Leafs finally got out of the first round. And you can say whatever you want about his stats on the ice during that series. And all I'll say is think about game 3 and 4 when he shut the door in overtime against Tampa Bay. His under 900 save percentage looks a lot better when you consider that. And on the other opposite end of that, you go and you look at Jack Campbell's 934 save percentage against Montreal in 2021. Doesn't really matter because he let that Brendan Gallagher goal in game 7, the one that, and I'm not hanging on that. But the point is that he was consistent last year. He was good for the Leafs and he was a guy that gave him a chance to win way more often than he didn't. So I think at 3.55, it's good value for both sides here. And I think it's equally good side or good value for the Leafs, because for as much as he played well last year, and as much as I think that there's some serious potential that he could be a number one guy in the league for a long time, it was only 1 year. And, you know, I'm personally erring on the side of give him a chance, because I think that there's more to his game than just 1 year. I don't think he was a one-off, but you always have to prepare for the reality and not prepare for the potential that he has. So the reality is that he did really well last year, but he also had two not so great seasons and then one decent season before that. So I'd much rather them settle at 1 year and see what he can do this year, and see if he can step up and show everybody that this year was not a fluke in 2023-24. And I think once he proves that he can repeat his performance more than once, I think at that point you start talking about an extension and bringing him back long term, or at least somewhat long term for a couple of years. either way right now, I think that it was probably the best possible outcome for both sides. I'm excited to see what he does this year and if he repeats his success or if he even shows, you know, a fraction of it. No, I won't say a fraction, but if he stacks up and has a performance that's comparable to what he did last year, then I'd be happy to bring him back for more than 1 year. But as of right now, I think the 1 year deal was probably the right call.
Yeah, Peter, your thoughts on Samsonov's arbitration filing?
Yeah, I thought that maybe he may have had a case where maybe he would have, obviously it was going to be a short-term deal, whether that was 1, 2, or 3 years. I think that was going to be the biggest question mark. I think that maybe he would have liked to have had a little bit of security where maybe he wouldn't have to, you know, have to worry about where he's going to play next season. But overall, I think this is another good bet on yourself kind of situation, because now the Maple Leafs have said, listen, you basically came in betting on yourself last season at 1.8. You did that. We're giving you the pay increase. Now try and prove to us that you're worth the long-term investment where you can put up those consistent numbers. And I think that this is a great situation for him, because if he does, he's going to earn maybe even more than just 3 years, 4, 5, maybe 6, and maybe a little bit more of an increase. Maybe you could get him at $5 million, and that may be a little bit more of a better deal where you have the consistency, because we know how not necessarily poorly, but how hesitant the Maple Leafs are to give that kind of money, that kind of term for 1 good year. So I think that that's really good value. I think I love the value of 3.55. And also I think that kind of works in the Maple Leafs favor as well, where maybe if he does play well and he prices himself out of his range, we're already getting to that already before he even plays a game his second season as a Maple Leaf. But if he has another good season and he signs long-term elsewhere at higher AAV than the Maple Leafs are willing to give, then I think that opens up the door for Joseph Woll as a potential starter, because we saw how much of a stride he took this season, coming in tough situations in the regular season and even in the playoffs for Samsonov. And he looked really good. He showed great poise, great confidence, really great rebound control. And he tracked the puck very, very well. That was the biggest thing for me. So I think that opens the door for him. But in terms of Samsonov, what he was able to do as, you know, he basically put himself as a top goaltender in that league, where you have a 5-on-5 save percentage. He ranked 8th, goals against average 5th, goal saved above average. He was 12th, and high danger save percentage was 1st. And that to me is huge, because, you know, we saw how Jack Campbell fared in that category the previous year, and it wasn't pretty at all. So the fact that he was able to do that shows some consistency, and then have the performance that he did down the stretch and into the playoffs, it's really big. And I think that he really earned that contract. Now it's on him to try and earn more years and prove that he's still going to be the starter for the Maple Leafs down the line.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think if you look at it, he had a career year for himself, you know, 4 shutouts on top of it. I think you're getting to that point now with Sammy where, like, it's still a very small sample size with 131 games, but you're getting to a point where you can more see what's expected of this guy moving forward. And I think the 1 year deal is perfect because, one, you get a little bit more development for guys like Hildeby, Peksa, Akhtiamov. You know, you have them coming up through the development program with the Maple Leafs. On top of that, the cap goes up next year. And you, I mean, if Sammy wants a little bit more money, like, next year might be the opportunity that he gets to sign for a bigger deal. And whether it be with the Leafs or not, you know, that's a discussion that obviously we'll have to wait and have later. But I think he proved himself last year. I think he ran into a few injury troubles throughout the season and in the playoffs. So, I mean, that hurt him, I think. But that being said, I mean, there's no reason why this guy can't make his bag next season and come back with a little bit more dough. So I think it's a great deal. I think it puts the Leafs in a good position. Obviously, he's going to be your starter. I think obviously at this point they have to run with Joseph Woll as their backup. You know, it's going to come down to how this goaltending duo can really affect them, you know, throughout the season, and if they can steal some games for them. And I'm sure this is going to be a conversation that the three of us have all year long on whether, you know, goaltending is going to be the main issue with the Leafs. But before we jump over to Matt Murray, obviously it kind of ties in with this conversation. A quick word from our sponsors over at DraftKings. New customers download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. In West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. The state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. Well, with the goaltending situation the way it is now for the Leafs, Matt Murray, obviously, it was announced that he'll be put on long-term IR with injuries that I guess he's been suffering with since last season. Peter, we'll throw it to you first. Your thoughts on Matt Murray. Is this going to be a year-long thing? How does this play out for the Leafs? And maybe it's the best-case scenario?
Yeah, definitely best-case scenario, because it was either going to be, you know, LTIR or a trade. And if you were probably going to trade him, you're probably going to add an additional asset that you probably needed to sweeten the deal so a team could try and take him on. Or the other option is just going to be just get the best possible return for him, even if it's like, you know, a seventh round pick or whatever. But, you know, the fact that they put him on LTIR, the fact that they freed up not necessarily a whole lot of cap space, but with him on LTIR, Muzzin on LTIR, you know, just, I believe, 1.29 or in between 1.29 and 1.8 million above the cap. So it kind of works in their favor that they're just above that limit as opposed to being way over it. So it works in their favor. But at the same time, I mean, it sucks because we were rooting for Murray to try and have a bounce back season. And, you know, it looked like he was having that in November, December, but then the injury started to kick in and that was the big issue. And the fact that he had a hard time staying healthy and even his play kind of was affected by that as well. It really is disappointing to see because you have to feel for the guy, number one, because he comes back and then, you know, the Maple Leafs don't even dress him in the playoffs and they like to go with Wall over Murray as the backup instead. So Wall has already surpassed him on the depth chart at this point. And obviously they got, you know, extra guidance and assistance from doctors or whatever. And if they said that he's unfit to play, might as well just throw him on LTIR to see if he can try and get healthy. Same thing with the Muzzin situation. Hopefully they try and work something out where maybe if he is ready to play, you activate him, then you have a trade set, fine. But if he's going to be on there all season, kind of like Muzzin, it's probably just for the best to let him play it out. And maybe this might be the end of his career. We don't know how serious the injury is or what he's dealing with, but, you know, it really does suck because, you know, again, I've been rooting for him to try and turn things around. But at the same time, if he's unable and unfit to play, he's got to stay there. And then until he gets clearance, until they have something in place where they can shed his cap, then it's the best outcome no matter what.
Alex, your thoughts on Matt Murray. Is this the end of maybe the road for Matt Murray in the NHL? Or are we looking at a guy that, you know, little cap circumvention, which is going to be the accusations on Leafs Twitter for the next year. And
it's already, it already is among fan bases against the Maple Leafs.
I saw that. Yeah.
I mean, I it's one of those things that I'm just not going to speculate on. I know that there is probably a decent chance that there's some cap circumvention going on here. And if that's the case, Tampa did it, Vegas did it, Montreal did it, every team does it. So, you know, at this point, it's just
with $8 and $9 million players, mind you. We're doing it with a goalie that's had an injury history.
Exactly. And, you know, on top of that, I don't really want to speculate Because the reality is these LTIR acquisitions, I guess if you want to call it that, they have to go through NHL doctors. So there has to be a, this is not some conspiracy of the Leafs, you know, locking Matt Murray in a room and putting him on a video call with Brad Treliving and just being like, hey, buddy, listen, you're going to pretend that you're injured because we need some cap relief and we're sending you to Robita Island. I know that's the joke that everyone makes, but like in reality, there is likely something preventing him from being 100% healthy. I know it looks a little suspicious with that tweet from following the playoff run saying I was ready to go if called upon. But we'll just have to see. I feel bad. Like Peter said, I feel bad because I was rooting for a Murray comeback as well. He's a, you know, everything that he showed in his during last year, he seemed like a class act. He seemed like a guy that was well-liked and in, you know, you want to see a guy bounce back, but in reality, he didn't really have a bounce back compared to what he did in Ottawa and what he did in Pittsburgh. Is he had a season that was pretty similar to what he typically does. So yeah, I think that, it's unfortunate, but probably the best case scenario, all things considered. And I hope that his health is good. And I hope it's not the end of his career. I hope he gets an opportunity somewhere else because he is still pretty young. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, in terms of the circumvention conversation, I mean, obviously you have to look at what happened to him last year. And he was in and out of the lineup with injuries. The Leafs obviously didn't feel comfortable going to him in the playoffs, so that's why they went with Wall. So there's obviously something that was still lingering there. And on top of that, I mean, the head injuries, there's no real timeline for those kind of things. So to see him go LTIR, I wasn't surprised. Hence my piece about why the Leafs need to trade him rather than buy him out. But obviously they can't do that when he's had an injury. So, I just think it's right now it's the perfect thing for the Leafs knowing where they were at with the cap. I don't think, you know, having him kind of with his unknowns in the lineup versus having Joseph Wall, it's kind of a fair trade-off at this point, especially with what Wall's shown over the last year. And then on top of that, I mean, it opens up that space to make sure that you have your lineup ready to go and you don't have to waive Connor Timmins at this point either. So that's an added bonus to what you get from this whole situation. But I agree with you guys. I was on the Murray train from the start of last year. I was hoping that, you know, we'd see a bounce back Stanley Cup run from this guy, but you know, obviously there's more to it than just the constant injuries and hopefully he can find a way back in the league after this and get another opportunity. I just think goalies at this point in time are a lot like running backs. And, you know, you're seeing guys like, Aiden Hill go out and help win a Stanley Cup. And I know I've mentioned him five or six times over the last five or six podcasts, but there's a guy that nobody thought would go out and win a Stanley Cup. And he was part of a duo, him and Laurent Boursault, that went out and won a cup for Vegas. And, you know, not a big name goaltender, but they had the big names playing in front of them and it certainly helped. So I think that's where you're at with goaltending in the NHL at this point. Obviously, if you can get a star in net, it helps, but I don't think it's the end all be all if you have a guy like Joseph Wall that could go on a run and help you out. So aside from that, let's talk a little bit about William Nylander. And this maybe the conversation that continues to happen over the next little while, whether we like it or not, his contract is the biggest conversation in Leafs Nation right now, outside of, you know, Matthews' contract, which does not seem to be getting nearly as much conversation, I guess, because people just simply assume that Matthews will sign. But William Nylander, Alex, comparable to the contract that we saw with Sebastian Aho just yesterday, or are we still looking at a guy that might get under 10 million, more towards the 9 million mark with Willie?
It's tough to say because offensively, I think they're very comparable, and I think Willie might be a tad better offensively. That having been said, Aho's plays center and he's a lot better defensively. I don't know if I really see it being too much of a comparable. I think if they are being compared, then I think that would put Willie as lucky to get any more than $9 million a year, because like I said, Aho is a center and he plays center and he's better defensively than Willie is. So it's tough to say if they're comparable. I would probably say I'd err towards the side of they're not, just because they play different positions. And if you want to compare them, you're really just looking at their offensive game. But given that Aho got $9.5 million, I probably don't want to give Willie any more than nine at this point.
Peter, your thoughts on the Aho-Nylander comparison?
Yeah, as soon as that deal hit, I thought that there's probably no way that Nylander is going to be budging from like $9-10 million, because if Aho is, again, like Alex said, Aho's a centerman, so he's going to get more value or a little bit more incentive than that, because centers are important. They're, like you mentioned, goaltenders being running backs, centers are basically quarterbacks because they're high value. Like, all the top players in the league are basically centermen at this point. But yeah, I do think that if you are looking at it, it's all just offensive comparables, because they have been at the same rate. Playoff production, they both shine. Now, again, like Alex said, and even if you don't know the difference between the two, and you've only seen like one or two games of each player play, you can tell that Aho is the better, well-rounded player overall. Can do everything, and he can basically play in any situation that you want him to. I think that I do think that it may not be a comparable, but I think it's a starting point for Nylander to say, hey, you know what? If he's getting 9.75, I'm on the same pace as him. If he's going to command the same amount, the Maple Leafs are going to counter, well, yeah, he is a center. Wingers can come and go. But if you want, we'll probably give you $9 million and 9.5, but you're not going to be making any more than him. And I think that may be a little bit fair, considering how he deserves an increase. And that would be a significant increase over the 6.9 that he made previously. So if it's in that 9.5 range, I do agree. I think that is extremely fair. But if he still sees himself as a $10 million guy, he has every right to try and get that on the market. But I highly doubt he will.
Yeah, I have a hard time right now believing that William Nylander is going to take a step back and say, yeah, you know, I'll take $9 million. Obviously, you know, it'd be great to see him do that. I just, from the history of Nylander's holding out, mm-hmm. and, you know, just knowing how productive he's been offensively for a team that at times has had inconsistent offensive output. You know, I do foresee him pushing for that $10 million mark. And like you said, I mean, he's earned every opportunity to do that. I think he deserves to go for what he wants. I just think he might end up playing somewhere else in the long run if this continues to play out the same way that it has throughout his career at this point. With that said, this is, like I said, it's going to be a kind of a storyline that we sit back and watch until it's reconciled. Obviously, he's got a year left on his contract. He will be with the Leafs this year unless something crazy happens in the next couple of weeks. So while we follow this story, it might be the best time to sit back and have a nice cold one from the Indy Ale House. Hockey, it will soon be back in, well, just over a month now, boys. And
already a month?
Well, yeah, you got training camps and everything else opening up. Hockey will be back, and with it, so will the Maple Leafs, getting ready for a night out of watching the game or at home with the gang. What better way to do it than with a nice cold one from the folks at the Indy Ale House in Toronto? With two locations in the city, at Eataly Bay in Toronto Bay and Bloor, the Biroteca location, they have two big screens, amazing authentic Italian food, and loads of beer. Also at OG Brew Pub in the Junction at Keel and Dundas, with 120 seats, famous bar food, and 12 taps. Indy Ale House is an award-winning brewery featuring their flagship Instigator IPA and dozens of rotating monthly special release beers, perfect for takeout, dine-in, or bottle shop online orders when planning for game night. You can find Instigator IPA and Marco Polo Pilsner at finer LCBOs across the province as well. Hashtag LiveIndy is the motto. Adventurous, fun-focused beers with a selection for everyone, from a healthy dose of in-your-face hoppy beers to the beer geeks to mainstream Pilsners, and easy drinking options. Indy Ale House is the go-to for game day. Boys, before we close it out here, I wanted to touch on one more comment that was made on a recent podcast, not ours, another podcast. It was Sean Avery on, talking about talking about Ryan Reeves and the Revo show and how he makes it all about himself. And I just want to get your guys' take on where you see Ryan Reeves fitting in as maybe that guy in the room or the guy that can maybe bring this team a little bit more life when you're talking about the interactions between teammates. Alex, I'll throw it to you first.
I think, you know, Reeves is somebody who from the moment he signed the deal, my thought was, okay, that's a bad contract. Probably shouldn't be giving an enforcer over $1 million a year for 3 years. But I know that the second he goes on the ice and does something, I'm gonna be all over him and I'm going to love him. And truth be told, much like I say, you shouldn't speculate on, and I know these two topics are two completely different things, but much like I say, you shouldn't speculate on players' injuries and, you know, their LTIR eligibility and stuff. I also think you shouldn't speculate on what a dressing room, what a guy like Reeves does for a dressing room. Because you might say, oh, well, you know, he's not going to do anything. He's going to go out there and he's going to pull a Simmons and get stuck on the bench and look really mad from the bench, but not actually fight anybody, right? I don't think that's going to be the case necessarily. I mean, I think it will be the case, but I think that his impact in the dressing room is going to be something that fans don't feel, but the team will feel. And I think it'll all depend on how they play this year. And I think that this is one of the better Leafs teams we've seen heading into a season, starting from opening night. So I am interested to see how things start, but I think that I would disagree with Avery. I don't think he's going to try and make it about himself. If he can manage to make things about himself in the Toronto market, then kudos to him. Let him take all the attention. Honestly, I don't think that's really going to fly in Toronto. But like I said, I didn't play in the NHL, so maybe I'm breaking my own rule here by speculating.
Yeah, no, and Peter, your thoughts on Revo coming in and what he means to this lineup?
Yeah, I mean, we basically heard it at his introductory conference when he signed that contract. Basically, he's there to be a vocal presence. He's there to break people out of their shell and get the team talking and get that team camaraderie going, because it seemed like that was lacking because, what was it? Keith said that they didn't have a team meal until after they actually won the series. And then it was Luke Shen that said that. One of the two, but you kind of got a sense that this team is very reserved. I think Reeves is being brought in to get them out and be a little bit more vocal, be a little bit more outgoing, because he has that personality. He has that presence on and off the ice that can do that. And, you know, you even hear him talk up John Klingberg, where he said, you know, that, he was good with the puck. He was even showing, you know, ability to come back and help out defensively, even though he was an offensive type of player. Then we hear all the negative comments about Klingberg being a defensive liability, being a risk taker and everything like that. Reeves was building up a teammate that he was with the Minnesota Wild when he signed with Toronto, when both of them signed with Toronto. So I don't understand how this is becoming a Ryan Reeves show when he's, you know, building players up and giving them, you know, the motivation and ability the ability in order to succeed with this team. So I think he's going to do whatever he can to be vocal. He's going to be a positive impact no matter what. And we already saw that with his comments already before he even wore a Maple Leaf jersey.
I think it's all about the source. You know how when you're in school, they tell you not to use Wikipedia as a source. I think Sean Avery's your source. And with that, I'm not going to take much from it. But from what I've heard, and again, Alex, we don't like to speculate too much. You know, Reeves is the type of guy that has the team parties, has people over for dinner, you know, gets people going. And I think that's what this team needs. The team has been a bunch of individuals for a long time. They need more of that kind of leadership by doing rather than that leadership by saying. And I think Revo is the type of guy that's going to come in here and really put that in practice. And hopefully that's something that can bring this team together and help them over the hump and get them to that next level. But again, I think the source is everything. And I'm trying not to take too much away from what was said, simply because, you know, goon versus rat. And I think the goon will usually come out on top. So,
boys, just a little breaking news live on Sticks in the Six. Vladdy, while we're doing this. Yep.
Vladdy, yeah.
Looks like Vladimir Tarasenko has signed a one-year contract with the Senators.
The Sens.
One year, $5 million.
Ooh.
That's actually a really good signing.
That is a very good signing. That is a very good signing. Not for the Leafs. We don't want to see him in the East.
I mean, for the Sens, it's really good because then you could fill the void of the offense lost by DeBrincat. So we'll see where this goes. But again, it's not forwards. It's not defense. It's goaltending. That's the big question mark with the Sens at this point.
So let me ask you this. Would you argue that Tarasenko might actually be a better replacement than DeBrincat?
I wouldn't say a better replacement because he has shown struggles last season and even with the New York Rangers, but I think he could still provide the offense every now and then, or at least some sort of offense, because what they got in the trade for DeBrincat wasn't all that appealing. So now you got a goal scorer that has shown to put the puck in the back of the net and be an offensive producer. So I'm not sure if it's an upgrade considering where DeBrincat was at, but I think it's still a good signing.
The only reason I say upgrade is because I think he plays a little bit more physically. He doesn't mind bumping players off the puck. He still has that scoring ability. Yes, he's had some inconsistencies, but so has DeBrincat over his career as well so far. So I like the signing. I hate that he came to the Atlantic. That means the Leafs are going to see him a little bit more. And he's got one hell of a shot. So it'll be interesting to see what he does against the Leafs. But we might have a new Leaf killer in the Atlantic.
Hopefully not. Hopefully he's traded to a contender at the deadline.
One retires, one signs here.
I'm waiting for the Sean Simpson tweet that the Senators are now better than the Leafs. But
I've already seen a number of tweets.
Oh, it's already happened.
saying that they
land the parade.
Their bold predictions that they're going to have a better season than the Leafs.
Sens Nation, baby. Sens Nation.
I mean, wasn't that said last year? And look where the Sens ended up.
Yeah.
But anyways, boys, I got a nice little text from my good buddy at work with a pair of scissors and two apples. So I'm going to go ice the bag. Make sure that we keep him from swelling up, but
got high praise for you. If he picked apples,
he does. He does. None of those little yellow plums or anything like that. But anyways, gentlemen, anything else before you guys wanted to close out this show?
Nothing from me.
Yeah, I'm all good.
All right, boys.
Get some rest, Forbesy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will. As always, follow all of us on Twitter at Andrew G. Forbes, at A. Hobson Media, and at P. Barrichini. You can follow the show at Sticks in the Six Pod. That's STIXINTHE 6IXPOD. If you're heading to a concert or a live sporting event, make sure you use SeatGeek promo code Sticks in the Six. That's STICKSINTHE 6IX. That's promo code Sticks in the Six to get $20 off your first purchase. And other than that, make sure you hit us up on all of our socials, Instagram, YouTube. Big shout out to the Indie Ale House and the Hockey Podcast Network as well for having us on. And gentlemen, until next week, we will be sure to have a quick shifts episode midweek at some point. But until then, that's it for us here on Sticks in the Six.